And here we are, the Gil Can Run Show, episode 9. I made it 9 shows. Wow. Okay, I'm late. Last night I wasn't feeling well. Somebody gave me some food with something in it, and I ate it without knowing it. And I was at the store, and it all kind of hit me, and I got really tired really fast and was not doing well. Could not do a show last night. There was no way I could have kept the thought at all in my head. So here we are. I missed Doc's race last week. I was at Morrissey. Oh my God, it was so awesome. Morrissey and Blondie was such a cool show. You know, some of it would be a little bit disturbing for people who, you know, I don't know, have never seen a Slaughterhouse video or things like that. It was a pretty powerful show. I'm going to talk to you about it for a bit, actually. I missed Doc's race because I didn't get in until 3 in the morning. There's no way I was waking up at 7 o'clock and getting out and racing. It just wasn't happening. Even though Doc's race was later, I didn't have a car because my Jeep was in the shop. And so other people needed a car. I have 2 cars, but someone borrows my other car, namely my mother. So I don't get full use of 2 cars. And, you know, so when I have 1 vehicle in the shop, you know, I got to split the other vehicle with other people. So I would have had to go and drop it off early, signed up and everything, ran the race, came back, and I was just too tired. It was a lot of fun. But I definitely could not answer the bell for Doc's race, and that was kind of sad. So anyway, got to tell you about Morrissey. Got to tell you about the whole thing. You probably may have read, if you're into that sort of stuff, the whole deal with him playing Madison Square Garden was that Madison Square Garden would not serve any meat at all, no animal products, the entire night. Which they did in the normal areas. As it turns out, they decided that they could serve meat in the corporate suites. I doubt Morrissey will ever be playing Madison Square Garden again. He's very much like, you know, at this point, I feel morally and ethically like I shouldn't eat meat because other animals, you know, deserve to live as much as I do, right? So, you know, forget about, you know, certain species wouldn't exist. I've already gone over this. Certain species wouldn't exist if we weren't farming them for food. Okay, I'm okay with those species eventually not existing. I just don't want to do anything to cause them to lose their life any sooner, right? I also understand that the meat industry is the number 2 driver of greenhouse gases and global warming in the world. So, behind power generation, the meat you eat is destroying the world. So, I feel like I have certain obligations to not use meat products. You know, I will eat eggs. I will drink milk. A lot of people are like, oh, that's terrible. Well, my eggs are local. My milk is local. You know, I'm trying to get more grass-fed, you know, and like free-range, things like that. I mean, I don't do it all the time, but I'm trying. And that's the thing, is if everyone just made an effort, things would get a lot better. And those things that are really good, like free-range, grass-fed, you know, all that stuff, it would be more available because there'd be more of a demand for it. And these places, these giant conglomerates that are shooting everything with antibiotics and creating these superbugs and destroying the environment, you know, with fossil fuels and everything, creating the meat, you know, because it's an industry. It's not farming anymore. It's an industry. It's a factory, okay? And, like, those places go out of business. You go back to the smaller farming. It's more ecologically sound. The food is better for you. And everything is better doing it small scale. The only reason we started doing large scale was because of these, you know, chains, fast food chains. You always want the same consistency throughout, right? If you have a Big Mac in, say, Kalamazoo, they want it to taste exactly the same. I hate saying that. They want it to taste the same If you bought it in New York City or LA or, you know, anywhere, Bangor, Maine, whatever, doesn't matter. Beijing, they want the same taste for every Big Mac everywhere in the world, wherever you go. So the less disparate places you're getting your produce from, whether it be meat or buns or whatever, the more consistency you will have. So you end up with these giant farms that make very consistent meats and everything, but they're horrible for everyone. And they also make it cheaper, right? So everything gets cheaper and consistent, but the food is worse for you because cows aren't supposed to eat grains. They're supposed to eat grasses. So we're feeding them grains, and then we're feeding like grounded up bits of other cows. And when bits of other cows' brains end up getting in there, then you end up with prion disease, mad cow disease, you know. It's a prion disease, is mad cow disease. These little things are not really viruses, they're not really bacteria. They're very tiny and they attack and they make the brain go nutty and kill people with mad cow disease. Things like that. Oh, well, you can get, you know, if you cook everything properly, you don't have to worry about it. Well, you shouldn't have to worry about it because for millions of years, nobody worried about it, you know. Human beings knew we had to cook food a certain amount, but for the most part, as long as it was fresh, you could eat whatever you wanted to eat, and you didn't have to worry about going crazy because cows weren't cannibalizing themselves. They're not supposed to. Cows aren't supposed to eat meat at all. But this is what we do. We create these problems. We create the problems with our food supply and then sit there and, you know, you know, oh, well, you know, then we just need to do this, we need to do that. No, we need to stop doing what we're doing to create the problem and let everything else fix it. Most of these super bugs, the MRSA and everything, people are, you know, having all sorts of problems. It's because, not just because we use antibiotics wrong on ourselves. We'll get a prescription antibiotics, we won't finish it up, we'll leave it there. Not finishing it up allows the bacteria that it's fighting to fight back. And the ones that haven't been killed off with the antibiotics, because they're a little bit resistant, now are going to reproduce and they're going to become more resistant, right? And this is how this happens. It's evolution. Believe it or not, it's evolution happening in front of your eyes. That is exactly what's happening to everybody, including the uncle that I won't speak to, who denies that evolution happens. MRSA and shit like that is evolution actually happening in front of your face. That is what it is. That is what is happening. So, apart from that, science is great, isn't it? So, like, you know, we can fix this. We can do something about this and stop this from happening. And part of what we need to do is we need to stop relying so much on meat for, you know, calories, because we don't need them. We don't need to eat meat. I'm showing that. In fact, this is why I got on this whole thing. I still got to talk about the Morrissey show, but this came. I'm so excited. It's a little tight in the chest. I don't mind. No Meat Athlete. You can go to, I think it's nomeatathlete.com. The dude's got his whole like thing. Runs on plants. Yeah, see, nomeatathlete.com. There you go. You can go check it out. He's got a lot of like tips and hints. I have not been using them because I have so many vegetarian and vegan friends that I can ask about things. And I know what recipes I like. I know what flavors I like and things. So when I'm looking up recipes or something, I know if I'm going to like it, if the herbs in there are, you know, something that I like or not. Like if I see a recipe with cilantro, guess what? I'm not going to eat it. You know why? Cilantro tastes like soap to me. I'm one of 14% of the population. We went over this. Where cilantro tastes like soap. It's disgusting. Cilantro is so gross for me. And no amount of exposure to it makes it better. Every single time I have something with cilantro in it, I get that taste. It does not go away. It is genetically in me to dislike cilantro. So that's that. But, you know, I can look at an ingredient list. I can decide if I like something. I made black bean quinoa burgers for this evening. I'm going to test them out a little bit later. I already know they're going to be pretty good. I'm pretty excited. But yeah, so you know, these are changes that I'm making and going through them with you, because what you put in your body is very important, not only for your health and for whatever you're doing, whether you're running like me, or you know, you're just trying to, you know, keep your weight down and live a nice, normal, healthy, long life, right? So that's important, but it's also important because it impacts so greatly the world around us. You know, our farming practices are the number two driver of greenhouse gases. That's huge. You know, nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about what a horrible impact our current factory farming system has on our environment. I mean, and not to mention soil erosion and, you know, the water table and all that stuff. Because, I mean, we're very wasteful when it comes to water. Just greenhouse gases alone is enough to say we need to change this practice. But then when you take in the water waste and the land usage waste and everything else, we got to change. We got to do something different. You know, most of what we farm goes to producing the cattle. So, like, you know, it's just, it's a whole snowball thing. And really, if you don't believe me, you can look into it. It's all over the place. You just need to be willing to read, take some time to read, listen to it. Listen to Jeremy Rifkin does, like, a whole thing on farming and its impact on the environment as far as greenhouse gases go. And then you can read other things about our farming habits and its impact on water, its impact on land use, and all that stuff. I mean, you know, they talk about the Amazon, you know, we're losing, you know, rainforest because people are chopping it down. What are they chopping it down for? Well, they're chopping it down for farming. That's the problem, right? And most of the stuff that they're farming there is cattle. They're chopping it down either to grow grain to feed the cattle or to raise the cattle. So, seriously, it's a big thing. So, anyway, back to Morrissey, right? It was a great show. Had a great time. Got to hang out with a friend I haven't seen since college. It was awesome. We got into town, went downtown, we had falafel at Alphanus. Talked about Alphanus before, awesome. Right, had falafel at Alphanus, went back uptown, went to a bar near Madison Square Garden, had a few drinks, had some french fries, went down to the show. Because we didn't buy from Ticketmaster, we bought from another third-party thing, we couldn't print out from her phone, you know, or scan it from her phone in Madison Square Garden. We had to get it printed out. We didn't know this until... So we're rushing around trying to find a place. We go to the Wyndham at the back end of Madison Square Garden. And she's like, I don't know. She's like, you know, that other place, the Park Hotel or whatever across the street in front of Madison Square Garden couldn't help us out because they didn't have the little cards for the business center. Staples was closed at that point. So I see the Wyndham and I go in there and I go to the concierge. I'm like, look, we're not guests in the hotel. We're trying to print out tickets to get to the show. Can you help us out? Concierge takes us right down to the business center, sets everything up for us, prints it out, bang, we're in, we're good. We missed most of Blondie, unfortunately, but it was still pretty cool. They finished up with Tide Is High. And like, you know, I've always liked Blondie. I mean, I'm a punk rock kid, you know. I'm not a typical Blondie fan. Some of you might know what I'm saying there. It was really, really cool. It's cool. I mean, she was rocking out in Madison Square Garden a couple days before her 78th birthday, right? Debbie Harry was just turned 70. Happy birthday. Not that you're listening, but, you know. It was a lot of fun. Tide Is High. They bring out, like, a whole brass band, and they're playing, and, I mean, it's crazy. She wrapped herself in a pride flag because, of course, this is the day after the whole, you know, Supreme Court decision. Congratulations, by the way, all my friends who can get married now. I still can't get married because I can't find a girl that's willing to do that. But that's besides the point. So, but no, it's very cool, you know. I mean, it's nice to see that everyone's extended the same legal rights as everyone else. And that's, in the end, what this is. Nobody's forcing a church to do anything that they would not agree with, okay? Nobody can ever go to, like, the Catholic Church and say, you have to marry us because the law says no. Nobody's ever said that. No law can say that. And that's just the way that it is. But that's what these people really fear. I've heard, like, the governor of Texas, this... How do you... Texas, what is wrong with you? Like... Somehow you keep electing dumber people. I don't understand it. Like, it keeps decreasing. And, like, this Abbott guy is, like... I mean, Rick Perry is no brain surgeon, right? Here's what's scary. There's a guy running for president who is a brain surgeon, yet apparently he's an excellent neurosurgeon. But he doesn't seem to know much else. But that's besides the point. So this Abbott guy, right, down in Texas, he's like, oh, well, you know, if you're a part of the clergy, you don't have to do anything that your religion tells you not to do. And yeah, jackass, that's exactly what everyone's been saying. No one's been saying anything needs to happen in a church. They're saying that the state has to extend the same legal benefits to all of its citizens. And that's in the Constitution. If you're a citizen, you get all the same rights and privileges as any other citizen. And since marriage is a legal contract between two citizens, you can't tell two citizens, which are people of the age of majority who you deem citizens in your country, you can't sit there and, you know, stop them from doing whatever it is that, you know, they want to do, as far as if somebody else has a legal right to do it. So anyway, another jump cut because dogs were barking and it was getting too crazy. So, but yeah, so you have a legal contract, two people, you have to extend that right to all two people. It doesn't matter if you agree with how they're taking that contract out or not. It's a legal thing. It has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with churches. It has to do with equal protection, equal rights for every citizen of the United States. Just because you don't like how they live their life, they're not hurting anyone. They're not hurting you and they're not hurting anyone else. So, but anyway, so that was total tangent there. But it was very cool. You know, good stuff. So Titus Hyde ends, she wraps herself in a pride flag, which is cool. And then, you know, we go and get a beer, and then Morrissey comes on. Morrissey was fantastic, as always. When he's out there and he feels like playing a show, he's knocking it out of the park. He's awesome. And this was no exception. He was so powerful out there. And the imagery that he chooses to put behind him is always sending a message. There's always a call. We talked about this with the Hardcore Show. There's always a call to action. Meat is Murder, of course, always put to slaughterhouse videos. It's a little disturbing. More than one person started crying in the audience. My friend started crying a little bit. I had a hard time watching it. It's difficult to watch. If you've never seen a slaughterhouse video... You know, even when I was eating meat, I've seen slaughterhouse videos. Like, all my vegetarian and vegan friends, like, in high school, you know, we watched this stuff. Okay? I always knew how the sausage was made. And I kept eating it because I didn't have enough sympathy, compassion, as far as that goes. But, whatever. So... It was disturbing. It was disturbing, particularly with the music of Meat is Murder behind it. Made it very powerful. It just so much powerful imagery. Great performance. I mean, absolutely worth. I was soaked. I was soaked to the bone. And having a great time. And, you know, really was a wonderful night. I actually didn't dry. On the train ride home, my shirt was still wet. It was very cool. Had a good time. You know, and it was funny because my friend at one point, we were talking during the, you know, between sets. And she says, I was surprised to see how many girls were checking you out while we were walking down the street, you know, when we were just having a conversation. And nobody ever said that to me before, that people were checking me out. Like, I have fairly low self-image and things like that. And I was surprised to hear that. It was surprising. It was a little bit weird. I've still been kind of processing it. So it was kind of cool to hear. I mean, it's nice to hear nice things said about you, you know, at any time, but it was definitely something that, you know, as I said, I'm not used to hearing. So it was interesting and just a little something. So I guess I'm kind of entertaining, and I mean, I'm loud, certainly. So I draw attention to begin with. But apparently, I guess there's something nice about me to look at. I don't know. So, but we had a great time. So there was that. And then I had to work my ass off all week because I don't get paid days off. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I had to get in 40 hours. I managed to get in 40 hours, have today off, just chilling, relaxing, maxing all cool and playing some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys that were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I'm doing the whole Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song right now, apparently. But that's because it was an answer on Jeopardy the other night, and it stuck in my head. So, you know, it's just, that's, you know, basically what's going on. I hate working long hours. I'm not a fan of it. I don't get it, you know, like why you have a day where everyone can't work because you shut down the facility, basically. And then the people that are contractors, just myself, we don't get paid. I can't go into work. If I wanted to work, I couldn't. But I don't get a day off because of my particular employment situation. It bothers me. There shouldn't be contractors in this world. There shouldn't be temporary hires like that. Everyone should have paid time off, you know. Everyone's going to get sick. Everyone's going to have problems. You know, everyone should have some time off. Just the way I feel about it. You know, and it's funny because one of my bands that I've listened to since I was a kid, Agnostic Front, right? They were supposed to play a show in Greece and it got canceled. And they're like, oh, hey, sorry, you know, that the show got canceled. This, that, the other thing. We hope the unrest in Greece ends peacefully. And I sat there and I wrote on their Facebook page and I said, well, I don't think that it's so much that it's not peaceful. It's that, you know, there's no banks. No one's really doing anything right now. They're waiting for this referendum and they're going to figure it all out. I said, but, you know, the thing is, we should all be hoping that Germany forgives some of that debt. Because, remember, Germany had their debt forgiven after World War II. And, you know, maybe they should extend that same courtesy to Greece when they got stuck with a bunch of predatory loans back in 2008 that they're now forced to pay back at a ridiculous interest rate. And it's not right. Because, I mean, this is just, you know, these are people's lives here. It's not like, you know, we like to think, oh, it's a government, it's a company, it's a bank or whatever. These are people's lives. A country are people, you know? So, you know, it's just, it's people's lives. And they should be willing to forgive those debts, like people forgave Germany's debts, which allowed them to become the economic superpower that they are now, running Europe. And they are. They are the power running Europe right now. And they should be willing to forgive Greece's debts. And they're not. And they're not letting them restructure. And this is Germany's fault. And I put that down. And I said, you know, I'm on the side of the people. I'm always on the side of the people. Okay? Because people are what make up this world. It's what makes up the society. All the other shit is just shit that we've added on. So I'm all about the people, taking care of the people. And that's that. And somebody was like, oh, well, you know, it's because the Greek people, you know, they were lazy and this, that, the other thing. No, first off, they don't retire that much sooner than the Germans. They don't take that much more time off or anything. So this is all a bunch of horseshit, okay? Fact is, forgive the debt, and that would all be taken care of, and you were, or at least let them restructure the debt so it made more sense. But they're not doing that, and they're holding everything up. Stand with the people. Always stand with the people. Because at the end of the day, that's all we have. You know, each other. That's it. Everything else is up in the air. We know each other are here. Take care of each other. That's all. So, you know, I got into it a little bit, and I'm not answering anything. I'm letting other people run with it. But I said, you know, because the people that were complaining about it, I said, well, you know, if you're not standing on the side of the people, then what are you doing here? You know, and that's what I said to him. What are you doing here? Because the music I listen to is about brotherhood and sisterhood, standing together against whatever will come in this world, and being a family, being a human family. You know, family comes in all sorts of different shapes and colors and everything, okay? The people that are got your back and you got theirs, that's your family. It doesn't matter if you were born together. It doesn't matter if you were living together. It doesn't matter if you were 1,000 miles apart or 10,000 miles apart, right? Your family. You're always going to be family, right? So just take care of people, you know? Just do what you got to do. And if you're not taking care of people, what are you doing? You know? So that's the whole thing. And, so that's the way I see it. And I try and look at everything that way. Even when people piss me off and I'm upset and things like that, you know, yes, we all have our moments. We all say and do stupid stuff, but I try to always keep that attitude towards other people. So that's that. So then, as I said, I was not feeling good last night, which is why I'm doing this show today. And the brownie that I was given had some herbal supplement in it. And I was out at the store because we got to choose like tile and shit for the house because that's all got to get done. We got to be back in our house by the end of this month. So I'm sitting there and I'm at the store. I'm choosing the stuff and I, you know, got some samples. And I'm walking out of the store. I just talked to one of the cashiers, and I'm walking out, and I'm standing there, and I said something, I don't even remember what I said, and it just started echoing in my head, and I'm like, oh boy, that wasn't a regular brownie. So, got home, took my time, was very safe, and I just went to sleep. I was so out of it, I just went to sleep. So, you know, did not get a show done. Still kind of feeling it today. I ran 7.5 miles, or, well, 7.2 miles or whatever. I'll post up the thing, and it is what it is. So I ran my 7 miles. I wanted to do 10 today, but I just was not feeling it. My stomach was kind of iffy. So I said, screw it. Did my 7 miles. I'll pick it up tomorrow morning. Do more miles. You know, I have nothing on the schedule up until the marathon around the lake, and then the 6-hour pajama romp, the 24th and 25th. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be interesting. And we'll see, you know, we'll go and see how we do. Hopefully I get the full 52.4. I can do math. I swear. I can do it. 52.4 in. If I don't, oh well. But if I get more, great. But hopefully I do 52.4 in 2 days, and that'll be cool. And we'll see. From there, I got to figure out August. I think I'm doing, I still haven't signed up for it, the Self-Transcendence Marathon. And then September, I haven't figured out. And I'm really starting to think I'm going to end up doing the Puglia Marathon in December. I don't think I've talked about the Puglia Marathon. It starts in Trani, which is the town where my friends live in southern Italy. It goes down the Adriatic coast, and it's beautiful. And I really want to run it. It's at the end of December, right before Christmas. And I think maybe that's what I'll do this year. But I'm not 100% on that yet. But I'm trying to figure it out. I got to figure out September, October, November, and December. But we'll be good. We'll get it figured out. We'll go from there. You know, so, but we're getting there. You know, the year is coming together. We're halfway through. I'm halfway to my distance goal. I'm right where I should be there. I've run 6 marathons this year, so I'm halfway there. I feel strong. I feel good. I've been cutting out meat, and I still feel strong, and I still feel good. These are good things. You know, so we're getting there. What else is going on? Well, I don't know, because now I'm just trying to think of things, right? Kind of a short one today, because yesterday kind of got everything screwed up. But New Horizons is closing in on Pluto. This is huge, because this is the first time we're visiting Pluto, right? And, oh, it got demoted. It's not a planet anymore. It doesn't matter. It's still a really interesting place. And it is, we're getting close, I believe, July 14th or something like that. It's going to be a close flyby. That's going to be really cool. I mean, we sent this ship out like 10 years ago, right? And it's been flying through space, and now it's at the very last like major body at the edge of our universe. Solar system, please. I'm riffing, and you know, so it's at the edge of our solar system. But really, here's the thing. We think of it as the edge of our solar system, but think about this. Voyager passed by Pluto, what, like, you know, 15 years after it left? And just last year, Voyager finally left our solar system. So, like, edge is relative. The size of space is so immense. It's so incredible. You know, we look at things here like the Grand Canyon, go, oh, it's so big. It's the Grand Canyon. Oh, look at the oceans. They're so big. And when you think about it in astronomical terms, our whole planet is so tiny. Everything on it is so tiny and delicate. And when you're out there and you actually look at it, like when you look at the pale blue dot photograph, which was, you know, the original one was Voyager turning around and snapping a picture of Earth from Saturn. And it's this tiny little speck in the picture, and you actually have to draw an arrow to show where Earth actually is. And you start realizing how small everything is here. And when you look at things that way, you can't help but feel a closeness to everything around you. And that's what we need to do. We need to start realizing how small and how delicate this planet is. And we have to go and you know, space exploration is a great way of showing that. Because, you know, you start realizing how vast everything is. I mean, Pluto, it took our fastest spacecraft we've ever made. It's not really a ship. Nobody can ride on it. New Horizons, right? It's taken it 10 years to get there. That's as fast as we can go. It took 10 years. So if you were to launch somebody into space on a round trip journey, right, and were able to get their craft to go as fast as New Horizons, if we launched them to Pluto when they were 25 years old, even if they just spent a day on the surface, right, you go all the way out there, spend one day, then come all the way back, which would be a huge undertaking, don't get me wrong. 20 years of their life. So if they're 25 when they leave, they're 45 when they get back. Okay? 20 years of their life for one mission. That's how slow we go, and that's how big the solar system is. Just the solar system. Forget about the galaxy. Forget about the neighborhood cluster of galaxies. Forget about the supercluster of galaxies. Just our solar system is that big. And then there are stars that are bigger than our solar system. The sun, right? Biggest object in the solar system. Enormous in comparison to Earth. Looks pretty... pretty big in our sky, but, you know, not that huge. The sun is tiny compared to some of the other stars in this universe that we know of. Just the ones that we know of can dwarf it. Just the ones that we know of dwarf this solar system. There are stars out there that can fit the entirety of the solar system inside that, the star. I mean, such amazing, you know, things happening out there. And I think the more we explore it, the more we'll realize that we are a small, fragile planet, and that we all better act that way, act accordingly, because we don't act that way right now. We act very much like, you know, we are the biggest thing to ever happen, and we are awesome, and screw you, because I'm going to get mine. And really, that's just not the way we should be. Because, you know, we've only got so much here, and there's only so much that we can do before we screw things up really bad. And we're getting to the point where we're kind of screwing things up really bad. So, you know, you just got to start looking at things in a way that makes you realize that small, fragile, helpless little place, and we really do need to work to take care of each other, not just as a human family, but as a living family, all the animals, all the plants, everything. It all works together. It's all a system. And we're part of that system, like it or not. We can remove ourselves as much as we want. We still have an impact. So we need to figure out how to mitigate our impact, make it as low impact as possible, and treat the other creatures with respect. And love, even. Okay? Not just humans, but everyone. Right? Because we're all in this together, and we all need each other. We need all the other creatures as much as they need us. So, you know, we got to take care of that. And that's what we got to do. You know. And that was basically my big takeaway from the whole week. That's what I've been thinking about. Morrissey gets you thinking about stuff like that. And certainly with New Horizons coming up, and I've been reading about that. That's where we've been going. I have not been following baseball at all this year. I don't know if I've talked to you about that. I've kind of given up on baseball because of the whole Alex Rodriguez thing. Because the league knew what all these people were doing for all these years. And then they were like, oh my God, we didn't know. And everyone's like, oh, of course you didn't know. All these horrible players. And said, yeah, the league knew. Anybody with half a brain knew when McGuire, Bonds, and Sosa started popping home runs like they were nothing. Something was up. And I actually would say it then. I actually have friends who can attest to the fact that I would say, listen, you know, they're doing this artificially. They have great talent, but they're helping themselves hit home runs. And I knew it. The league knew it. Everybody knew it. Everybody that, you know, doesn't live with their head in the sand knew it. And, you know, I didn't like it. But at the same time, they're professionals. They're getting paid tons of money to do this. Whatever. It's not my place. I don't care. You know, it wouldn't be anything I'd ever want to emulate. I've never taken a performance-enhancing drug. I never will. But they all knew. And then, you know, a lot of these guys, well, when it got, you know, thrown out of during the game, you know, a lot of these guys that are like on the edge, you know, they would start with recovery when they would get injured. And, you know, with Rodriguez, it was just whatever. He was Alex Rodriguez. He had to maintain being Alex Rodriguez, so he just kept going. He never had a positive test. There's no actual physical evidence against him. Yes, chances are he actually did something. Who cares? Because, like, so many people were doing stuff. He's still a great talent. Whatever. But when they just absolutely threw him under the bus, when he was the only one that had no physical evidence against him. Other guys had physical evidence against him, and they got 60-day suspensions. He got an entire year. And he's never once had any physical evidence against him. It's all been hearsay, conjecture, and, you know, basically he said, she said. That is what the entire case against him has always been. So whatever. I don't care about that. What I care about is that the league knew, and then they threw this guy under the bus because of it. And then I care that the Yankees started to try to not want to pay him for things and things like that. Just pay the man. All right? He filled the seats for you. Just pay him. All right? You haven't won anything in a few years. Just pay him. Okay? Just please. Just follow up with your contract. I don't care. He doesn't need the money. I get it. I would wish that he would give the money away to a deserving charity. But the fact is, he earned it. Whether you like it or not, he earned it. And that's just the way it goes. So I'm not watching baseball anymore. Because they knew, and they just threw this guy under the bus, and I thought it was ridiculous. So I don't watch, I don't pay attention, I don't check out the scores, I don't check out the stats, nothing. Do not participate at all. So, but, you know, I don't begrudge anyone who does, I just think it's all ridiculous. I knew all along what was happening. Just like, you know, with this whole Ed Snowden thing and, oh, proof that the government was listening into our conversations. Give me a break. You honestly thought that the government wasn't listening into your conversations before he said anything. As soon as that law was passed, the Patriot Act, I sat there and I said, they're going to use that to listen to citizens' conversations. I absolutely knew what they were going to do. I knew it was happening. And the other countries going, oh, I can't believe they were spying on us. Please, because you weren't spying on everyone else. Whatever. It's just the game that they play. But I'm not, you know, like, I wasn't shocked by it. He didn't do anything great for me. He didn't open my eyes to anything. Maybe he forced the hands of the politicians to change things, but in the end, they didn't really change much. And let me tell you, they'll still go through and they'll still do this stuff. So whatever. Who cares? I don't care. I don't even think that we should have a government the way that we have it. But that's besides the point. I don't see the point in nation states anymore. You know, I see, as I've talked about this, one world government that just ensures the rights of the people. Right? That's all they're there for. Just make sure that all the people have certain human rights. I've talked about what I think those rights should be. Food, water, shelter, clothing, and health. Right? There's other stuff, but those are the basics. So they make sure that everyone has that. And then nobody's just like killing each other indiscriminately. Things like that. And then you have local governments. Not state governments, not national governments, local governments. People get together and they do, you know, what it is, you know, they say, okay, well, we want to be together in our community. And we're going to elect the government this way and that way and do this. And then they actually take care of the administration of that particular area. And they can set it up how they want to. As long as it's, you know, and it should be something democratic. You know, whether it's direct democracy or Republican democracy or whatever. I'm a big fan of direct democracy. I'm a big fan of everybody votes. Maybe you have an executive, but everybody votes on everything. I like that idea. I like the idea of voting. You know, so, and obviously the central government would have to take care of roads and things like that, because all that's got to be done. Roads, trains, transportation, stuff like that. There needs to be a central authority for that. You need to, you know, pay attention to these things, because you can't trust a corporation to do it. A money-making entity is going to make as much money as they can by cutting as many corners as they can. So you do need oversight. You always need the people looking out for themselves. And that's what a government should be. The people looking out for themselves. That's what the American government was set up to be. That's what a lot of governments were set up to be. That's not what they actually are. So we need to work on that. But that's neither here nor there. So that's the way I look at things. That's what I've been thinking about this week. A whole bunch of stuff. All kicked off by Morrissey. Just got me thinking about all this stuff all week long, and it's just been crazy. So I hope you had fun. I hope you enjoyed. I'll get this up tonight, I promise, but I got to go right now. And we will see you next week. Thank you very much for joining me again. Thank you very much for listening and being there and having fun with me. I've been having fun. I hope you're still having fun. Need more feedback, though. Got to give me more feedback and share. Share with your friends. Let everybody know that I'm here and you know, I'm doing this thing and it's kind of crazy and weird and listen to this weird guy talk. Oh my God. Just trying to get you to think, get you to, you know, motivate you to be out there and be positive and be happy and help each other. So keep running, keep going, and we will see you next week. And of course, check out the blog and everything else because I update it all the time. All right, we'll see you later. Peace.